Welcome to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith live radio show and podcast. Up next, a new mini episode called Unstoppable Guest, Taomi Morgan. In this episode, Taomi, aka the Glamazon, a sexuality coach and relationship expert, shares her views about sex, monogamy, polyamory, and more. Then this episode ends with Asha putting me on the uninhibited Q&A hot seat. This mini episode is part of the full episode called Wait, What the? That is already available in your podcast stream. Enjoy, and new content will be available Monday, August 21st. We have our guest in the building, who is Taomi the Glamazon Morgan. She is a sexuality coach, relationship expert. You may have watched her before on America's Top Model. You may have read her work as a resident expert and contributor writer to Ebony.com, or you may follow her on IG as the Glamazon Taomi. And now, we are grateful that we get to hear from Taomi as our special guest on today's show. Wait, what the? Do we have Taomi in the building? Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Hello. Hopefully you'll tune in to Facebook Live, because what you'll see if you tune in at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, you'll see how we figure out to get the headphones on Taomi with that wonderful set of hair that she has.
Yeah, it's just going to have to go under.
Yeah, so that way she can both hear us and what's going on. All right. So let's get into it. First of all, Taomi, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I love podcasts and radio shows.
Hey, and we love having you on. Now, just so folks know why this is so special is that you don't live in New York City, do you?
I mean, sometimes I do. So this week, I'm living in New York City.
Nice.
Next week, I'll be living in North Carolina, and then I'll be living in Chicago. Then I'll be somewhere in L.A. So I'm a nomad. I just travel wherever I feel divinely inspired to be.
I love it. And you could have been any place in the world, but you're chilling with the underdogs this afternoon, and we appreciate you.
Yes.
So let's get into it. You help folks with their sex and relationship lives.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I've seen stuff where you talk about there's some folks who may be heartbroken out there. There's folks who may have some unsatisfaction in their sex lives.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do, actually.
Unfortunately. Uh-oh. We're about to go there. And so before we get into kind of what we do, I'd love for underdogs to get a perspective of our guests of how they got to where they are.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit. Before you became the sexuality coach and relationship expert, did you ever have a significant moment in your life where you maybe felt like you were brokenhearted or unsatisfied sexually?
Brokenhearted doesn't really apply with like sex, but I mean, there's always been times where I felt unsatisfied sexually, and it's mainly had to do with how I felt about myself and where I was in my own personal journey sexually. So if you are a person where you know what you like, or you have at least an idea or a feeling of something that you like, but then you're not receiving that in return from the partners that you're choosing, then of course you're going to be unsatisfied, you know? So as I developed and grew and became more comfortable with the things that I'm into, then, you know, that just went to the wayside, because what I'm not going to do is keep myself or put myself in situations where I'm not going to be satisfied with what I'm getting sexually, or lie to myself just to appease someone else because they're not comfortable with themselves. So
cool. So you mentioned you no longer put yourself in those situations where you're uncomfortable or not being pleased.
Yeah.
Did you ever stay in situations maybe too long that you were feeling like you were uncomfortable or not being pleased?
Oh, yeah, we all have. I mean, we do it because it's a reflection of how you feel about yourself. It's a reflection of your worth. So when you settle for something, it's a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself. And there was a time when I didn't think that I deserved anything more than what I was getting. But when I woke up to myself, I'm like, no, I'm not accepting this anymore. It's just, this got to go. So
no, and I think it's true. There's a lot of people who might be feeling like they don't deserve better.
Yeah, we are like programmed in a poverty consciousness where we don't think that we deserve prosperity. We don't think that we deserve abundance. For some reason, we always come from a space of lack. So there are more of us that are settling for what we can get. And this is a quote from Robert Lee Camp, that when you don't get what you deserve, you get what you settle for. And what you settle for is a reflection of your idea or your sense of worth. So when you operate from that space of lack, when you operate from that poverty consciousness, you're just going to settle for whatever you can get. And you're like, oh, well, you know, and then make excuses for it. Yeah. Knowing damn, can I say that? Knowing darn well.
You can say damn.
Okay. Knowing damn well that's not what you feel that you deserve. So
before, and I love that you shared some of the uncomfortable moments, and we're going to talk about how you got out of them. But first, I just want folks to know that they're not alone, and maybe they can learn from your story. Where did you learn to feel that you didn't deserve better, or that lack?
Well, just realizing the truth. I mean, because you already are love, and you already are receiving abundance, and you already are an abundant being. When you remember that, then that's when you're like, oh, okay, let me just turn around. It's not like none of this is already known to you. It's not like it's foreign. It's already there. You just have to remember it. And then when you remember, you make the choice to say, I'm not going to accept this anymore. And then you don't. It's really that simple. But people can't even just turn around like, oh, hey, there it is. It's right there. Like, it's literally like right there behind you or next to you. But you just make the decision to turn around. And it really is that simple. Once you make the choice, then you choose to only accept those things that you know you deserve, then all that other stuff doesn't even like faze you, because it's not a part of who you are.
No, I totally get that. And I know that at least, and I'll talk specifically about men for a second, because I know you started off working with women and now you work with men and women. I remember growing up being in, I didn't know what the term was, but now some call it like the man box.
The man box?
Yeah, from the standpoint of there's this box of a man means heterosexual. A man means I'm the cowboy or I'm the hero. A man means
People's definitions of what masculinity
that
is.
That I don't show emotions, right? So there's this box that potentially, to your point, I got to get to unlearn.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed with either yourself or clients or people you work with, are there people in a sexual box?
Everyone is. I mean, listen, we're programmed, point blank, period. That's what has to be known, right? We come into this world already existing as love, but then everything from the day that we are born is programming us to believe everything opposite of that. So, yeah, we're all in a box, because society, religion, your parents, your peers, products, productions, everything is telling you or programming you what to believe about sexuality. And instead of you going within and like asking yourself, well, what do I like? Or what am I naturally drawn to? You listen to all those other opinions. So yeah, everyone's in a box until you decide to really just be true to yourself, which is doing inner work and inner reflection. People don't want to turn inward though, because they're afraid of what they'll see. And people also don't want to own up to the fact that every single last thing that happens in your life is a direct result of you. That's it. So if you have a messed up sex life, that's because of you. No one else, not your partner, not your parents, because you made a choice to believe what was told to you instead of you going within and discovering what it is you truly believe. So, yeah.
Now, there's underdogs out there listening.
What up, underdogs?
They're like, every week you talk about politics and about culture and entrepreneurship and all this stuff, which is all good, right? We got careers. We got stuff we do out in the world. But one of the most important things is connection, right? Intimacy, sex, relationship, all those like really personal things. If there's folks listening right now, and I know they are, and maybe they were in their box or they feel like the world has defined sexuality for them and they want to start to define it for themselves, what are some things that they can start to do to turn it around?
Sit down and get a journal, like, you know, composition book, something like this.
The old school
or something that resonates with you, that speaks to who you are. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go on Amazon.com. You can go to freaking, what's that place my mom likes? Oh, Home Goods. They have like a whole like section of journals and stuff. Find something that resonates with you and start a journal. And that journal is to be used to focus on yourself. And you use the first page, you dedicate it, and then you flip to a page and you make a list. You make a list, and at the top, the first list will say, thoughts others have told me about sexuality. And you make another page after you're done making that list. Thoughts I truly believe about sexuality, or thoughts that I know are my own about sexuality. And you'll be really surprised at what's coming from you and what's coming from someone else. And when you can really see that visually, you'll be like, oh, wait. So I don't even know what I believe. I don't even know what I like. Like, whenever I have interactions with individuals and I ask them the question, how do you like to be pleased? How, like, what do you want me to do to make you feel good? They're like, oh, I don't know. I have never been asked that before. And it's like, what? No one's ever asked you what you like. No one's ever asked you how you want to be pleased. That's a problem. So if you can visually be able to see a clear, defined line between your thoughts and everyone else's thoughts, then you can begin to kind of sort out, well, okay, well, what do I really like then? Because these thoughts aren't mine. My mom told me about this, or this is my best friend's experience. This isn't my experience at all. I actually never have done that. So, you know, really start to work, do the inner work. And you can do the inner work by writing it down. Consecrate a journal specifically for your sex life. The fears you have centered around sex, the things you actually do like, the experiences you've had, write your fantasies in there, all of that stuff, what you're attracted to, what you're turned off by. Even write down traumatic experiences that you've had in the past. But that book is just for you. It's not for anyone else. It's your own source of therapy. And when you can get that out, then you can start really like facing yourself and being honest about what it is that you want and get out of that box. And then when you have to realize this too, that your sexuality is your own to claim. It's your birthright to have pleasurable sex, and your sexuality is a part of who you are, but your sexuality is also going to change. It is fluid. It's not going to just be static and stay one way your entire life. As you grow and you have experiences, you travel the world, you talk to more people, you see things visually, you're going to get inspired, and it's going to change things. What used to be appealing to me at 19 is not appealing to me at 29. Just saying. What used to work for me at 19 does not work at 29. It's going to be the same way at 39 and 49 and 59 until the day I die. So, you know, it's the same for everyone. Don't get so stuck into believing that, oh, well, I like this one thing. It's only going to be there for the rest of my life. No, it's not.
It's
don't put yourself in a box.
So I think that's awesome in terms of, you say, start with what are the thoughts that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And why that to me is also so important is that our thoughts lead to our feelings, which leads to the actions we take, and people will be surprised. Change your thoughts and you'll change who you be and what you do.
Yeah.
And you get to start to unlearn stuff. Now, that was the inward side of things. What about when folks now, if they're not pleasing themselves, want to start interacting with somebody else? What are the what's a step they can take now to increase or improve their sexual life? Now when it's like, okay, the journal was good and that's my start, but now I got to interact with someone.
Mm-hmm.
What's one or two tips you have for when I now want to engage with someone else?
Communication is the first step. First of all, you need to be comfortable with being able to express what you need and what you desire. If you can't even talk, have a conversation with a person that you're interested in connecting with in love through sex, and how you're going to be able to execute that. If you can't even be, how explicit can I be? Because I'm sitting here like trying to censor myself, and it's horrible.
It's
I hate
FM
it.
Radio.
It's so anything you can't say on TV, you can't say here.
Well, I've said a lot of things on TV, so I don't know.
Not each.
We're FM public radio FM public on Sunday.
All right. Well, if you can't tell your partner you want to do blank to their blank and be able to look in them in their eyes and say that with confidence, how are you going to be able to execute that? Go out for some tea. You know, crumpets and tea, whatever is wine, whatever you want. Just a social setting, or it could be a private setting, whatever. But just talk about sex. People aren't even talking about it. The fact that people will tell me they have never heard anyone ask them what they like is an indication that we are not talking, period. So the first step is, before trying to do it, how about you talk about it? Talk about what you need, talk about what you desire, and then ask that person too, so what do you like? What do you desire?
But
and then you can go on field trips and stuff.
But tell me, I want to pause to what you just said, because I think it'll be important for people to hear. I know what people are thinking. Talk about it before. That's going to take some of the fun out of it.
No, it's
what
not.
What about I'm in the moment?
Let me tell you something.
And like, you want me to call time out and like have a debate?
We're not talking about when the act is going down. We're talking about before it even goes down. We're talking about just like right now. We're having a conversation, right? Just this. Call your partner up or whoever you're interested in. Hey, you want to go out for lunch? All right, meet you at 12:30. And then when you meet at 12:30, instead of talking about the weather and all this stuff that don't matter, how about you talk about sex? So, you know, I'm really feeling you. I think you're sexy. Let's talk about sex. So, like, what have your experiences been like? You know, what are you looking forward to? As a matter of fact, are you looking forward to having sex with me? I bet you that question is rarely even asked either, because people just insinuate because they believe that sex is supposed to be spontaneous. Well, guess what? The natural innate desire to connect with somebody is there, but what's not natural is the consent. If you're just assuming that because you guys are attracted to each other that it's just supposed to go down, that ain't right. You still have to get consent on both ends. Men need to get consent from women. Women need to get consent from men. So that way, you're not feeling like you're violated. And there are a lot of people who have gone into sexual experiences with people they trusted, and they were violated because they didn't speak up. They didn't even give the consent right out. It's just insinuated because you're attracted. Sex is fun when it's spontaneous, but it's better when you actually plan it out, because you actually know what you're going to do when you get into the bedroom. You're going to be sitting there guessing what your partner likes, and especially if you are not skilled sexually, if you don't know about positions, if you don't have oral sex skills, if you don't know how to touch your partner, and then on top of that, you don't even know what they like and how they like it, then you're going to be sitting there playing Blue's Clues like, okay, well, I guess if I do this, and then it just becomes mad awkward. And then no one's going to talk about it being awkward, but then you're going to go and run your mouth to your friends or go on social media and subtweet or make subliminal statuses about the situation. And now people are hurting in their feelings. But you can avoid all of that nonsense if you just have a simple conversation over tea or over a drink or over some food or whatever, happy hour, have the conversation, set the plan. For instance, we had a threesome the other day. And if we did not even discuss...
And time out, just because people may not be watching, they're listening, and they don't know who you pointed to.
Oh, my pardon. My bad.
I need to call time out.
I forgot.
I need to call time out. I need time to be just a little more clear.
My partner and I, who is sitting next to me, to my left, is...
We're going to reset that. Start over with that.
So my partner and I, that's sitting next to me in the studio, to the left of me, we had a threesome the other day. And that would not have been able to happen, and it wouldn't have been comfortable if we did not talk about it. And the conversation wasn't long, because the person that we brought in was already down. It was like her and I were talking, and she mentioned she had an attraction to girls. I was already attracted to her. I was like, oh, really? Well, would you like to play? Now, if I wouldn't have asked her if she would like to play and just be like, oh, well, you want to come over to my house tomorrow? That's creepy. First of all, and secondly, I'm not putting up front what it is I desire. I want to play with you. Okay, so would you like to play? And with her already having been in this situation, she knows what that means. So then I turn around and ask him, hey, do you want to play with her? He's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, okay, let's develop a time. All right, what time works for you this time? Okay, great. Well, here's the address, you know, meet us there. And then even before, like, once she got there, it was like, all right, how do you want to be pleased? You know, what do you want to experience from this? She said she didn't know. I'm like, all right, so then you're giving me permission to, you know, do what it is that I feel based off of your body chemistry and like how you're responding to me. You're giving me the permission to please you in whatever way I feel is fit. But that would have been awkward, and it would have been a violation if we hadn't talked about that. Instead of just being like, well, you know, I want a threesome to happen, but we just gonna like, hopefully spontaneously it'll pop off. No, it's not. For something like that, you definitely have to talk about it before, but that should be sex in general. As a couple, if you're not talking about your sex life, if you're not talking about what you need, what you desire, any of that, then how are you actually going to be satisfied? How are you going to satisfy your partner if they don't even have a roadmap to your pleasure?
Very true. We get to express our wants, our cravings, our desires.
Yeah.
We're talking to Tyomi Morgan, a.k.a. Glamazon, who is a sexuality coach and relationship expert. And we have talked about the fact that to improve your sexual life, you get to write down some of the thoughts you have about sex and yourself, and
yep,
learn the ones that aren't serving you. Also, communication is key. And she just had a threesome, not with the underdog team, but with someone else. And another example of communication is key.
Yes.
With that, you mentioned skills.
Yes.
When we were talking earlier. Now, to me, sex is one of the more interesting things for us as people. Think about accountants as an example. No one says, you know, I watched a couple movies and I talked to my friends to learn how to be an accountant. Hmm. No one becomes president. Well, no, that's a bad.
I was going to say, let's be clear here.
No one becomes a scientist by watching a couple of movies and talking to their parents about what they know about science. Mm-hmm. No one learns how to drive a car without having to pass a test and maybe even getting some driving lessons.
My mom taught me how to drive at 14, just saying. She put me on the Edens Expressway in Chicago, which is a beast, and I learned how to drive. So when I got to driver's ed, I already knew what time it was.
Yes,
just saying.
But we verified that your mother knew what she was doing.
Yes.
We actually did not say, you know what, Tommy, you can test out of this, of course, because your mom taught you.
I could have. But see, that's not how the course goes, you know. You got to go through steps.
And that brings me to sex, where oftentimes a lot of people have learned their skills by talking to their parents, talking to some friends, maybe watching some porn, and during that time, as you mentioned, Tommy, not communicating a thing, not making any requests.
Right.
How do, and I want to talk more about adults here, because kids is a whole separate thing, but now someone, let's say they're grown, they're an adult, where do they get skills at? Because are they just supposed to keep asking friends and watching movies?
So there are a few sources where people get their sexual information. It's porn, parents, peers, or publications, all right? All P's, as you can see. So,
yo, hey, yeah.
you know, porn.
Keep it clean.
You're not going to go to the fifth P.
Right.
Or the sixth P. One.
Right. Which is basically the application, right? So, porn is a very viable source of sexual information. However, the issue with it is that the average person is forgetting that it's entertainment. It is entertainment based on typically male fantasy. So when you're watching porn and the application of sex there, it is someone's fantasy being acted out, and it's typically from the heterosexual cisgender male point of view. And it's not how the average person interacts sexually. And those scenes are cut and spliced to look a certain way for a purpose. It's entertainment, guys. It's no different than watching Lord of the Rings or anything like that.
No, it's a little different.
It's, well, yeah. Unless you're watching like Lord of the Rings parody porn.
So, it's kind of the same thing.
Right? And so, you know, in watching porn for education, you have to keep that in your mind that it's entertainment. And then you have to be very specific about what you're looking for. So that's that. Parents only know so much and aren't going to give you so much. And if you're asking your parents for advice on technique, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to tell you how to go down on your girl or go down on your dude. Like, I know my mom definitely is not teaching me how to do that, let alone even comfortable with me licking on a banana like this in front of her. And like, really, you got to do that? Okay, mom, I mean, it's not even that deep. But so parents only going to give you so much, and your peers can tell you their stories, but your peers, unless you got super cool friends like mine, aren't going to be like sitting there like, this is how you lick on a stick. You know, like, your friends ain't going to sit here and like really give you technique, but they can give you some advice. And then publication is like the best piece, because it's all written out for you there. Like, you read a Kama Sutra, or you read a derivative of it, or any type of like self-help book based around sexuality, and it can teach you everything that you need to know. But then once you read that information, you have to apply it. So the fifth P is practice. You have to practice.
We talking about practice?
Yeah, you gotta. We talking about practice? Well, in the case of sex, you need to practice, because
I'm out here working hard practice.
I have a question. You know, I have a question, because you know, as a fellow female, you know, and there's a lot. It's a lot different, sort of asking about sex from a male's point of view versus asking about sex from a female's point of view, in the fact that there's so much stigma that comes around with being a female that is confident sexually. And so when you say something like you've got to practice, obviously a lot of females would be like not comfortable with, you know, basically running up their numbers like that, you know. And so how do you, as a woman, how do you sort of rationalize, you know, your not potentially, you know, not necessarily wanting to be out there, but then also wanting to make sure that you're you know, you feel sexually satisfied.
Well, first of all, whose business is it how many people you're sleeping with? Number one. Number two, your business won't be out there if you're not putting it out there. Thirdly, stop adhering to societal standard. Like, you're a free person. You can do what you want to do with your body at any given time. So get the notion out of your head that there is this standard for how many partners you should be having. That's society putting those thoughts in your head. And remember we said earlier, going into your journal and writing those thoughts down, that didn't come from you. That came from everyone else. And there isn't even a source that you can point to where you can say, oh, this person said that, like, this philosopher or whatever said women should not have so many partners. No, that's something that came from male dominant not wanting women to exercise their sexual freedom and gain power through knowing that your vagina's powerful. If you want to put in practice, you don't have to practice on multiple penises. You can practice on one. Or one woman, you know. But if you feel that you want to have a variety and you want to have experiences and join with others in love, and see, that's where it comes in too. If you aren't looking at having sex with people as joining in love and it being a healing experience, then of course you're going to feel some kind of guilt around having sex with multiple people because you're not viewing it correctly. You're viewing it as everything but loving. And if it's not loving, you're not viewing it correctly. So get it out of your head that there is some kind of standard you're supposed to adhere to. The only standards you have to adhere to are the ones you set for yourself. Yeah. And no one has to know who you're smashing and who you're interacting with or practicing with unless you put it out there. You could be all primped up, you know, collar, button up, no one would ever think that you doing anything. And you go to freaky clubs every Friday and get it in with multiple people. But because that's your lifestyle and you keep it private, it would never get out there. So, you know, get it out of your mind that as a woman, you're not allowed to be free and talk about these things. Look at me, I'm doing it. And I know a lot of women that are doing it. And it's the most freeing thing to do. Like, because you're owning your truth, you're owning the truth about who you are, which is being a free being, and you're having fun, right? Like,
and how do you rationalize? How do you rationalize that with also wanting to have a partner? So, is it that you say, as a woman, the partner that you end up being with has to be somebody that's accepting of everything about you or of your lifestyle? Or is there, you know, is that sort of what you were talking about before with communication with a partner?
It's definitely communication. It's definitely realizing that you're free. And if your partner loves you, they will accept you as you are. And if you are a person that wants to join with multiple people in love, you have a right to do that, whether your partner sees it as right or not. And your partner can either choose to see you correctly as a free being and accept you or not. And so as a woman, if you choose to be with somebody who's making a big deal out of you wanting to have multiple partners, then that's not somebody for you. But if you choose to settle, again, that shows you your sense of worth. At the end of the day, it's no rationalizing it. It's either you choose or you don't choose.
Yeah, you get to choose what works for you. Hmm. And we're talking to Tyomi Morgan, who is a sexuality coach and relationship expert known as the Glamazon.
Yeah.
On today's show. Wait, what the?
What the?
And we are learning a lot about sexuality, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that after this quick break. Still to come, we have the word association
still
game.
Still to come.
Tyomi and the Underdog Stuff crew. And then we finish with Asha putting me on the uninhibited Q&A hot seat. More Underdog Stuff after this quick break. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do here every week on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. And we're joined in studio during our bonus hours with Tyomi Morgan, sexuality coach and relationship expert in the building.
In the building.
And we appreciate you. And of course, always joined by the Underdog Stuff team. And now it's time for the word association game, where I'll say a word or phrase.
Okay.
And then folks in the studio get to say three words that come to mind.
Oh, Lord.
They can be three separate words, or it can be just a three-worded sentence. All right? I'll say a word or phrase, and then for some of them, we'll dive in deeper, and some we'll just move to the next topic.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right.
Who's going first?
Should we let the guest go first and then you chime in after and then we'll...
Yeah.
Oh, so you ready? Kirsten, ready?
Ready indeed.
Asha, ready?
I'm ready.
Tommy, ready?
Ready.
All right, the first word. Monogamy. Three words.
Choice. I don't have three words. It's just a choice.
Nobody ever plays the game correctly.
I'm sorry. Okay. Choice.
You're not the first person to.
I'm going to say standard, choice, and I don't know. I don't subscribe to it. So.
Nobody ever follows the rules.
Not for everybody.
That's good.
Not for everybody. Yeah.
Asha.
Let's get married.
Okay.
Was that a word phrase or a single
that,
word?
Was that a request, an announcement?
I'm just saying.
All right.
But that's a good one, though.
The next one. Polyamory.
Choice. Not for everybody, and I feel the same way about monogamy that I do about polyamory. So, and it is fun.
It is fun.
It's like really hard to sum up how I feel about these things in three words. Like it really is.
That's why I do it. It's part of the challenge.
Oh, well.
What are your three words for polyamory?
Seen as non-traditional.
I like the compound word there.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the challenge is that I talked earlier about the man box thing, but I think oftentimes culturally in society, we put boxes around things so that we say like that's normal.
Polyamory is a box though in itself, and so is monogamy.
Yeah, but the reason why I say non-traditional is that there seems to be more of an acceptance of the monogamy, or at least a promotion of it, as opposed to polyamory. And some could argue that we're more poly than monogamous when we look at infidelity, when we look at people being single for long periods
we're
of time.
We're free, guys. And we're so, all free.
So I say that, though, for people that...
That's it.
But not everybody... Yeah. But that's the thing. But that's why we do shows like this and we talk about it, because not everybody actually feels free.
Yeah, because they're choosing to subscribe to these boxes. You know, monogamy is a choice, polyamory is a choice, or you could just choose to be free and do what you want to do with clear consciousness and also recognizing that in doing what you want to do, you are dealing with individuals who don't feel that they are free and that you have to proceed with caution in all things. Because what I've noticed is individuals who have the mindset like we do, just even us being in people's presence, it shifts things. And people aren't ready for that shift because really we're all mirrors of each other. So when you place a mirror in front of someone and then they see themselves reflected back or something within themselves that they haven't even yet recognized, it makes them feel weird. They're like, I don't know what to do with these feelings. I don't know what to do with this reflection of myself. So you don't know how it's going to make them respond. And so, you know, monogamy is a box. Polyamory is a box, and people make the choice to either subscribe to it or they don't. But in our society, you're right. You got all these people who they're with someone. And what's interesting is that monogamy is always assumed or it's insinuated that because you have an attraction to someone, that person too wants to be with only one, but that's never discussed. And it goes right back to what I'm talking about communication. Do you ever really ask your partner, so, you know, how do you feel? Like, is monogamy for you? Is it something that you want to do? Or do you want to be with multiple people? That's never discussed. It's always insinuated and always just assumed. And so now you're in a relationship with a person where you don't even know what they truly think. What if that person was in like poly relationships all the way up until the moment they met you? You wouldn't even know that because you're assuming that because you've only been in monogamous relationships, that this person, because they're attracted to you, is also subscribing to the same thing, communication.
Yes. And to know that it's an option. So
yes,
we want folks to know there's
a
lot of ways
to do whatever you want
to
do.
Yes. Now, with that said, options. And we had a caller during the break, that folks get to do what they want to do. Folks get to be free. And folks also get to be responsible.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure we also acknowledge that that includes being taking care of your safety, too, when it comes to sex, whether it's your physical safety, obviously things like STDs and things like that. So that is also part of.
Yeah, like
being
my three words are something that Taomi just said, but my three words for polyamory would be proceed with caution.
Okay. Fair enough.
Be safe.
And one last word before we go to uninhibited. Three words, which no one. Let's see if we can all do this one. Three words.
I'm going to say Kirsten go first.
Oh, no. Nudist.
Natural state of best way to be.
Best way to
natural state. Be.
Natural state.
The only way. I don't know.
The only way.
The only way. Yeah, she got it. That's three.
Nudist. It is me. That's it.
I knew is that. Me. I did my research.
It's in my bio on Instagram. I'm like, it's a public known thing.
Yes. My birthday suit.
Yes, that's three.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very cool. Well, we want to thank Taomi Morgan for coming on the Underdog Stuff show today. We appreciate you. Now, for folks who want more Taomi Morgan, what's one of your next upcoming events or projects? And then also, how can folks get in touch with you?
I have so many upcoming projects, from creating the only threesome guy that I've actually seen on the market. So I'm working on that right now, because I keep getting this question of how do I successfully have a threesome? So I'm working on that, and revamping my blog site, glamerotica101.com, and my YouTube channel in conjunction with it for my 6-year anniversary. And the Exotica Expo is coming up in Edison, New Jersey, November 3rd through the 5th. I am the resident sexpert and seminar coordinator. So you can see myself and all of my friends teaching some amazing classes about sexuality, and you can see your favorite adult film stars all under one roof. It's going to be amazing. Check it out. I will be giving out free tickets. So if you want to take advantage of that, you can follow me on social media at the Glamazon Taomi on Instagram, Glamazon Taomi on Snapchat, Glamazon Taomi on Twitter. And you can follow me and check out my website, sexperttaomi.com. It'll lead you to my social media and to my blog site and YouTube channel. And if you forget any of that, just put my name in Google and you'll see everything. But just warning, not safe for work. So don't do it when you're at work and your boss is looking over your shoulder, because you may see titties or something, other nudity.
I don't think we 7 seconds rule
popping up.
You can say that.
Oh, well, my bad. My bad.
We're doing so well.
We made it to the last 2 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey. Free the nipple.
Just Google her.
Yeah, just Google me and you can
find everything. Morgan. Shout out to you and thank you for stopping through while you are in New York City. Cool. Now, the big finish to the show. Asha Davis, what is your uninhibited question for me? Which is a question related to the theme of the show that I actually have no idea what it's going to be, and I will stall as long as possible to answer it before the end of the show.
Well, I mean, I've been inspired a little bit by our lovely guest here about our question. And so I kind of have a polyamorous question for you, actually.
Probably like you have many questions?
Yes.
You don't have time for many questions, many loves and many questions.
So our show topic today was basically like, wait, what the? So my first question to you is, to wait or not to wait, what's the least amount of time that you've waited upon meeting someone to take it to that next step?
Same day? Yeah.
Within an hour? 2 hours?
You trying to see if there was like a Usain Bolt moment or something?
I'm trying to see, was it like, oh, I met you and I just knew it immediately? Or was there...
I don't think I had the clock running to know for sure, but it was definitely within 24 hours.
Okay. And my second question is, you know, we've been talking a little bit about this. Have you ever had the pleasure of having a third?
A third radio show?
No. A third person.
A third. Do I talk in, like, you're asking Gregory if he's ever... talk in third person?
If he's ever engaged.
I've never been engaged.
In a third.
I do talk in the third.
Have you ever had a threesome, Gregory?
No, I actually have not.
Is it something that you want to write in your journal?
I mean, have I written about it in my journal?
Is it something that you would like to write in your journal?
I keep an open mind to it.
I'll keep an open mind.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yes. And look at you. Several weeks in a row with the very good questions. Putting me on.
You've heard it here first, guys.
Putting on me on the hot seat. And with that, we'll get ready for the big finish to the show. Shout out to all the folks who came along on the ride with us today on today's show. Wait, what the? We appreciate you. And also shout out to our guest, Tommy Morgan, for making a stop while she's in New York City. Of course, always shout out to all the folks who watch on Facebook Live, all our callers, and of course, the Underdog Stuff team, Asha and Kirsten in the building. And I leave you with my word for today.
Yeah.
You know, I love the use of unwords.
Yes.
Today's show, the word that comes to mind for me is understanding.
All I need from you is understanding.
It's not the right words, but it's
Is that Tevin? you end in with Tevin?
That's not Tevin. You said Campbell. That's the word. All I need from you is
Campbell. Oh, who is those it? Those are the girls that's from Escape. Atlanta. Escape. Tiny T.I.'s.
Oh, yeah. That's why I was. Well, yes.
Candy.
See, I understand now. Oh. So understanding, obviously, it's helpful, right? Especially when talking about things like sex, relationship. Obviously, we talked even about race earlier, things going on in politics. And definitely there's an opportunity for more understanding and for us to listen to each other, but also take appropriate action. So with that, I close the show. For those who missed any of the live show, the podcast will be up tomorrow. You know how we do: live show Sunday, podcast Monday. On all the places you listen to podcasts: iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, Google Play. Search Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith. And I leave you with my favorite quote: underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Until next week, peace.
Thank you for listening to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast. The live show is every Sunday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can watch it live on Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith or listen live on WHER 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem radio station. And new podcast episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Lively Play, and Podomatic. Underdogs, keep going. And remember, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody.